Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey family, this is your girl, Miss Lady Tweet. This is a thankful Thursday. I am so excited to have the opportunity to come on today. As you notice, there is no theme music. I am just going to speak straight to you today. I did not create my theme song and lock it in today simply because I am outside enjoying this open field. I am outside enjoying some wonderful sunshine. It is about 75 degrees today, and I am so grateful for all of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us in nature, just being able to enjoy it. So sometimes you just got to get out and enjoy it. So if you hear cars driving by with music playing in my background, or if you hear outside people, that's because I am outside. There is something on my heart to give to you today from the Master. So I am going to give that to you. But first, I want to thank everybody that listens to me on iHeartRadio. I want to thank everyone that listens to me on Spotify. I want to thank everyone that listens to me on Apple Podcast platform and everywhere you get your podcast. I am there and I thank you for listening. I thank you so much for taking 20 or 30 minutes out of your day on Monday and on Thursdays to hear me, to support me, to be a listener. I am grateful that you all allow me to come into your airways, and I don't take it lightly, and I don't want to produce anything that is junk into your airways, but I want to uplift, encourage, inspire, and impact your life because that is my mission vision. So while I do that, I want to ask you to share my broadcasts, share my podcast with your neighbors, with your friends, your family, because I believe that we live in a world where encouragement is needed. We need to be empowered. We need to be encouraged. We need to be uplifted. Life already beats us down. So we need an encouraging force. We need someone to say, hey, I made it and you can make it too. That is the purpose for You Can Make It with Miss Lady Tweet. You can make it. I made it through hell and high water. So I want to remind you that no matter what you face, you can make it through. Listen, I have been really doing some studying, and I have really been doing some pondering and reading and educating myself on various things concerning behaviors. And one of these behaviors that I have been studying in the last 3 weeks is NPD, and that's Narcissistic Personality Disorder. And if you guys follow me on my social media platforms, such as Facebook or Instagram, even on TikTok, you will see that I've been doing a different number of series, and I never just shoot from the hip. Everything that I talk about is my own personal life experience, because I believe that God didn't let me go through hell for me not to share it with you. I don't believe God allowed me to face all the drama and trauma that I faced in my life for me to just keep it to myself and not share it with you. So, hello again. Those of you that don't know me, my name is Miss Lady Tweet. I am a domestic violence survivor, human trafficking survivor, and it is my mission to encourage, inspire, and impact lives, one person at a time. So here we go. I have been doing a study about NPD, Narcissistic Personality Disorder, and I actually went live and I actually have shared some videos. Today, I want to talk about trauma responses associated with dealing with someone that has NPD. And so a lot of times when we are in relationships with people that have narcissistic behavior, when we're in those types of relationships, our trauma response is to forget. The reason why we forget the things that our abusers do to us is because our brains are wired to have this mechanism called fight or flight. And God created it that way, where we, you know, when things happen, we either fight through it and stay, or we leave, which is the flight mechanism. So a lot of times our bodies and our brains protect themselves by forgetting. Our brains, if you ever do a study, or if you know someone that had a traumatic incident happen to them, they might forget the trauma that they faced or details about the trauma that they faced. And it might seem very weird, but it's our brain's way of protecting itself so that we don't, for lack of better words, go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. It's our brain's way of protecting itself so that we don't snap. It's our brain's way of protecting itself so that we remain safe in the best way our brain can make us safe. So I want to talk about the trauma response that comes from narcissistic personality disorder. When you are dealing with a narcissist, they tend to gaslight you a lot. And I'm going to tie this into spirituality. The narcissist gaslights you so that they make you feel like you, what they are putting you through is not really happening. They pretend that they didn't say the harsh words that they said to you. They often tell you, oh no, that didn't really happen. I didn't do that to you. I didn't lie to you. I didn't hit you. You're crazy. Like, they make you second guess yourself on events and occurrences that actually did happen. However, because you are in fight or flight mode, or your brain is protecting itself and you've forgotten full details, you may go along with what they say and just choose to believe them because now you are second guessing yourself. And that's how the devil, and that's how the narcissist gains power. So the devil's job is to kill, steal, and destroy. His job is to rob you of everything that God wants to bless you with and that God has already blessed you with. So if he can allow you or cause you to be so traumatized that you forget occurrences, he can become a repeat offender in your life. What am I saying here? What I'm saying is that's how it works. That is the entire plan of Satan, is to have you walking around numb or blind to what he's actually doing. And that's the same in a narcissistic relationship. They do everything that they want to do, and everything becomes every part of life, every part of your life, every part of people connected to them lives, they want it to be solely about them. They live their life on a stage. They put on performances for everybody outside in the public so that they can look so grandiose. They might even pretend to be a great person to your family and your friends, and they treat everybody really good, and you know, they are amazing. But behind closed doors, they'll tell you, I don't even like your people. I don't even like your family. I don't even deal with you. I don't even love you. You get on my nerves. You're the bane of my existence. You know, they'll start to verbally abuse you. However, the entire setup, and this is a lot, so it's very complex, but I'm only touching the surface today. The entire setup with a narcissistic person is that everyone on the outside looks like looks at them as if they're amazing. Now, there are some people that see right through them. However, the majority may see them as a great person. And the reason for this setup is that if you decide to gain your power back, if you decide to fight back, if you decide to say, you know what, I'm not going to take it anymore, and you might leave them and you get on your own, then everybody's looking at you like you're crazy. Or the narcissist then begins to tell people, oh, he or she did me so wrong, and then they left me. They took all my money. They did this, but they never tell what they did because they've got a whole setup. So everybody looks at them as though they are the angel and they're not an abuser. Now, here's how it gets even worse. A narcissist will play on your emotions and your intelligence. And if you have the trauma response of forgetfulness, then they're able to get away with a lot of murder because you don't remember a lot of the details that happened. So when you go to do a police report, you may not write down everything because maybe you forgot it. When you go to leave them and they ask you why you're leaving, sometimes you feel like your back is against the wall because really your body knows that something is wrong. Your spirit knows something is wrong. Your spirit knows they are doing things to you, but your brain can't remember. So now you're backed up against the wall and you're tricked into staying and you're tricked into believing, wait, I'm must be something. I must have something wrong with me. I'm the perpetrator. I'm leaving this person and they are good to me. You know what? They may have it set up so that they are the sole breadwinner. So therefore, why am I complaining? Because they bring in the money. They take care of me. You know, I am just a horrible person for wanting to leave them. When all in all, the truth of the matter is, no, baby, you're in a narcissistic relationship and they have allowed you to be their dependent because that gives them power and leverage over you so that now when you decide to leave, you have no resources to get away from them because they feed and they live and they get off on having power over you. They are manipulators and they thrive off of, you know, making you be subservient to them. They thrive off of everybody looking at you like you have a mental disorder. They thrive off of everybody, you know, thinking that you are off your rocker and they want people to feel sorry for them because they have to take care of you. And, you know, woe is them because you've got all these issues. Well, I come today to encourage you and also disband that evil demonic force that causes people to be manipulated, mentally abused, emotionally abused, and even physically abused. I want to empower you because, as I said in one of my recent videos, I have on-the-job training. So there is nothing that I talk about, that I post about, that I do videos about. There's nothing that I speak about in general that I've not personally faced. God has allowed me to go through hell and high water so that I can use my experience in order to empower and help someone else not ever go through the things that I faced, not ever go through or experience the trauma that I've had to experience. And yes, so full disclosure, my trauma response has been and was forgetfulness. So I have been able to cope or live in relationships where I just don't remember. I don't remember all the things. And then there's something that happens where I will be triggered into remembering, oh yeah, this person did do this. This happened. And that became my empowering force. When I began to remember, that's when I was able to lift myself up out of that situation and empower myself and gain strength and say, you know what? Now that I remember, let me write it in my journal. Let me write it in my diary. Let me, you know, remember this so that I never go through this again or allow myself to be in this situation. But most of all, because God has anointed me and given me the gift of helps to be able to help somebody else not face those things, to know the signs. Anybody that wants to isolate you, anybody that wants to control you in any type of way, whether it be what you wear, whether it be how you speak, whether it be who you speak to, whether it be what you buy or even controlling your finances or every time you spend, they want to micromanage and watch your bank account. These are red flags. Look at how a man treats his mother. If he doesn't have a relationship with his mother, that's very well. He's not going to have a good relationship with you. If he speaks ill of his mother or cusses her out, trust me, I went through this in my first marriage. If he cusses his mother out, trust and believe he's going to cuss you out because a man's mother is one of the most important people in his life. He honors her. You know, he reverences her almost because she's the queen. She's the first queen of his life. Therefore, how a man treats his mother is how he's going to treat you. On the flip side, if a woman is trifling and she's lazy, don't think that marrying her is going to make her become the housewife or the wife in general that you want her to be. We know who we marry before we say I do. And a lot of us don't like to admit it. I don't know why I'm going down this way, but let's go. God is taking me here. We know who we are marrying before we say I do. As much as we don't like to admit it, you know, if your husband or wife has good tendencies, bad tendencies, if they're good, you know, to you, if they, you know, sometimes we turn on blinders because we are excited about the wedding and we're excited about being married and we turn on blinders and we're like, you know what, God will fix them or I can fix them or I can do something and it's going to be okay. No. I put on my personal Facebook page this week, ladies, The only way you can change a man is if he wears diapers. You cannot change a person. I'm so sorry to be the one to tell you, but I want to encourage you before you get into a situation, even if you're in a situation, empower yourself to get out of that situation. Before you get in that situation, if you're dating somebody and there are red flags or things that don't resonate with your spirit well, go ahead and end it there. Don't find yourself 8, 10 years, 15, 30 years down the line regretful because now you're stuck and bound to somebody and you want out. I know what it's like to be bound by somebody and want out and feel like I can't breathe. I know what it's like to be stuck with someone and you feel like there's no escape and it feels like a weight and a chain around your neck and it feels like you are sinking in the bottom of the ocean and every time you feel like you get a breath of fresh air is when you're not around them. When they leave the room, when they leave your home, you know, or when you leave or when you step out, you feel like, oh my goodness, I can breathe because all the air is not being sucked out of the room. Don't find yourself in those shoes. You know who you're going to marry before you marry them. And we have to be ever so honest with ourselves and understand, you know, even if we're in a broken place, we have to look at our lives and understand, okay, I'm broken right now. The most responsible thing you can do for yourself if you're broken, meaning if you've gone through trauma and you're trying to heal, the most responsible thing you can do for yourself is not jump into another relationship prematurely, not jump into a relationship and expect them to be someone that's going to heal you. No, you have to do your healing work and you have to heal from the inside out. Now, I'm not telling you, you know, don't, you know, I'm not trying to sow seeds of discord and cause marriages to break. No, God ordained marriage. And if your marriage is in a bad spot and it's fixable because, you know, God showed you that it's fixable and there's no emotional, physical, financial, spiritual or any type of abuse there, then go ahead and fix your marriage. But those that deal with narcissistic people, let me tell you, 9 times out of 10, a narcissist is not going to change. And the reason that they are not going to change is because they have a God complex. They have God complexes that make them feel like they are perfect and they don't need to change. And if they don't feel that they need to change, why would they change? So they're not going to even go get diagnosed with NPD properly. They're not going to take any time to change their personality. What they're going to do is try to strip you of everything that makes you who you are and weaken you and dumb you down to be everything that they want you to be so that they can feel powerful, so that they don't have to change, so that you become the problem. A narcissist, no matter how you spin it, no matter how you put it, they are never at fault, even if they really are at fault. No matter how it the outcome is, no matter what they do, it is always your fault. Why do I say that? Because they always make it your fault. They always blame you, even though it's not really in reality your fault. They hit you. It's your fault. You didn't cook right, so they threw the food on the floor. It's your fault. Everything that goes wrong in a narcissistic person's life is always somebody else's fault. They even begin to blame their childhood. My parents didn't do this, so I'm not successful. I'm not consistent. I live my life this way because my parents didn't do XYZ for me. They always find a blame. Oh, my girlfriend didn't do this for me. My wife didn't do this for me. So therefore, I don't have everything I need to be successful because someone isn't doing it for me or someone isn't doing what I need them to do. When in reality, God has given each and every one of us everything that we need to be successful in life. He's given us different measures of talent, different ways to educate ourselves so that we can reach every goal that we have set for ourselves. The reality about a narcissistic person is that they don't want to set goals for themselves. They want to do nothing, sit on the seat of do nothing, and then they want to complain when things don't go their way. We were talking about trauma responses. So, a lot of times a trauma response can also be a trauma bond. And what I mean by that, and I'm also going to do a series about this, but I had to do this today because this was on my heart, and I'm going to do a social media series about this because some people need to get freed up. A trauma bond is simply when a victim finds a reason to connect to their abuser on a deeper level. And this trauma bond allows them to be able to stay in the relationship. One of the major trauma bonds that I studied is the life of a child who has an abusive mother or father. Let's say mother, for instance, because mothers bond with babies more than the father in some ways. So if you have a drug addict mother who is abusive and you're a baby, a lot of times, even if she's in an abusive relationship, a lot of times the baby will cling to the mother even more so. And I did this in my study, even more so because of the void that's created when they are neglected. So a baby is neglected and their response is to reach for their mother to fill that void. So now they build a trauma bond. And nothing, if you've ever seen a child who has a horrible parent, even if that parent is horrible, that child is so forgiving and that child is very clingy to that parent. The reason for that is they've created a trauma bond. So they, in their mind, as a coping mechanism so that their mind can protect itself, their mind does not allow them to feel like they're being rejected on certain levels. Until the light bulb goes off, they don't feel rejected, even though they are. So they cling to their mother even more. They bond with their mother on a deeper level even more to protect themselves, because that's what their brain told them to do in order to cope with the trauma. Now, let's take this to a romantic relationship. Someone that is being abused or has even been kidnapped or human trafficked, a lot of times they will cling and be loyal to their abuser. And the reason for this is that a lot of abusers, yes, they're abusive, but one of their mechanisms, one of their tactics, should I say, is to reward their victim. So, okay, say you're kidnapped and you're being starved. Well, if you don't scream today, I will give you a biscuit to eat. I know I haven't fed you in 5 days, but here is a biscuit for you to eat. Here is your reward. So then the victim's mind goes into what I said earlier about fight or flight, and it begins to protect itself and begins to think, oh, this isn't so bad. See, he brought me something to eat. My abuser is being kind to me. So therefore, I'm okay. I can cope with this. I can deal with this. And a lot of times, even in human trafficking situations, the victim will begin to develop Stockholm syndrome. And that pretty much is where the victim is loyal to their trafficker. They're loyal to their trafficker. But the difference between the trauma bond and someone who has been abducted or someone who is in an abusive relationship and then someone that has Stockholm syndrome is that in Stockholm syndrome, the abuser often sometimes gains love for their victim. This is very sick and twisted. However, they begin to build trauma bonds because the victim is bonded to the abuser, and then the abuser then turns around and finds love for their victim. So there are a lot of trauma responses. I do not have time to dive deep into them. My purpose for this podcast discussion was to enlighten you and to empower you. Listen, first of all, before you get into these relationships, especially into a marriage, you know who you're getting with. Your gut feeling, that spirit gut feeling that God put in us, that human nature to do right, that gut feeling that tells you, oh no, something isn't right here. Those are the red flags that I'm talking about. Something isn't right here. Don't ignore red flags. When you feel like something isn't right, 9 times out of 10, it's going to come out. The proof is always going to come out, and it's always going to show itself. And you don't want it to show itself when you're already married. You don't want to show itself years invested into the relationship. Even though most of the time when you're dealing with a narcissist, it doesn't take very long. Maybe a few months down the line, they will do something, and it may not even be something huge, but they may do something that is totally not acceptable. And then they will pretend to show remorse, and then you forgive them and you think that it's an isolated incident. But then it'll start to show up more and more frequently. It'll start to rear its ugly head on a regular basis. And that is not what I want from you. As someone who has been in narcissistic relationship and dealt with someone that has narcissistic personality disorder, I don't want that for you. So today, I thank you for listening to this conversation about trauma responses and dealing with narcissistic personality disorder. I thank you so much for those of you that follow me on Instagram, follow me on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. I thank you all so much. My goal, as I've stated so many times, is to empower you, to enlighten you, to encourage you, even if it's one person at a time, even if it's one person that listens to this. You know what? I hope your life was transformed. Again, we do not have intro and outro music because I'm outside. I'm not in the studio and I'm enjoying this nice weather. And I hope that you had a chance to get outside in God's green earth today. I am doing a free class on March the 28th at 7:30 p.m. It is a free class dealing with trauma and trauma healing. I am a trauma coach. I have, not only am I certified as a life coach, but I have on the job training, and I'm going to help free some people up. You may not be dealing with trauma, or maybe you have and don't know it. We're going to open up some eyes and we're going to enlighten some people. But you might know someone that needs to be in this free class. There's no charge. I think my website might charge your card one penny just to register online. But you don't have to register on my website, which is missladytweet.com. You can just shoot me an email at missladytweet@gmail.com and say, hey, I would like the link for this class. I am giving this class so that we can help some people and that we can enlighten some people and that you be educated so that you can educate some people. Each one reaching one to reach humanity. That is what we're doing. Listen, I thank you all for being a part of this today. I pray that God blesses you for the rest of this week, that you have a wonderful weekend. Again, this is your girl, Miss Lady Tweet, and you can make it. Shalom.